What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, FightfulSelect.com, here to review Wrestle Kingdom. As if you all didn't get enough of seeing me talk about Wrestle Kingdom or watch Wrestle Kingdom, we did a couple watch-alongs. I hope you guys really enjoyed them. Even though one was pulled from Fightful Scraps, it will be re-uploaded whenever we get that opportunity. And we did the second one on Twitch. We're going to put that up on Fightful Scraps for you guys to watch if you didn't check it out on Twitch. But hey, we've got lots of stuff to get into. Wrestle Kingdom, the last couple of nights, I thought they were really good shows. There were some matches that I just thought were not good and I didn't need to see much of. But then there were some just flat out incredible things that I got to witness and I felt privileged to see. And especially on night one. Just some really, really great stuff. Let's go ahead and get into it. The New Japan Rambo. I'm usually a sucker for battle royals. This one wasn't necessarily a throwaway because the Final Four would meet for the King of Pro Wrestling deal the next night. I'm not big on the King of Pro Wrestling thing. I don't like it. It's not for me. I get putting Toriano in it. Why not? I mean, that's his whole deal. But I wanted it to be like either three members of Bullet Club, so Bad Luck Fale, Chase Owens, and Yujiro Takahashi would have been funny, but also if they would have done Ishii, Suzuki, Goto, and then Yano as the funny one, that would have been really good for night two. We'll go ahead and talk about night two. Yano got the win with a dick punch. You don't need to see this. You don't need to waste your time. This was not fun. This was not good. It was cool to see Nagata and Tenzan and people like that. And I'm a sucker for nostalgia like anybody else. But I didn't need to see this. Hiromu Takahashi and El Fantasmo. This one was a little bit disappointing to me. Still a good match. But a little bit disappointing because I thought it was going to be just flat out incredible. Fantasmo trolling. Top notch. But there wasn't a strong spot because there were some blown stuff right out of the gate. Takahashi won with the Bulldog Brett pin after a pretty solid match. And Hiromu was the right person to win, but Fantasmo has stepped up so much. I loved Takahashi immediately selling the fingers, but I don't necessarily remember a lot going into that the next night. So, it was fine. It was an okay match. It started off rough with some of the blown spots. Guerrillas of Destiny become 7-time tag champions, defeating the Dangerous Techers, Taichi and Zack Sabre Jr. This was three guys carrying Taichi, and I know that Taichi had a really good G1 run and did a lot of cool stuff there, but this was Zack Sabre Jr. and I don't want to say surprisingly, but somewhat surprisingly, both members of G.O.D., putting their working boots on, man. G.O.D. was there to work like it was the show that it was. There was one spot in particular that I really, really loved. There was a neck breaker that was supposed to hit on Zack Sabre Jr. and it looked like it was mistimed and off and it wasn't going to look very good and it was going to end looking really sloppy. And sometimes that happens, but man, Tama Tonga just stayed up there in the air and yanked Zack Sabre's head down. It was incredible stuff. Very, very good. Taichi was just not there for this match, and everybody else picked up the slack for him. Zack Sabre is good as ever. This is one of the better performances I've ever seen from Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa as a tag team. Well worth going out of your way to see. Jon Moxley appears. There's a lot of Death Rider imagery and cowboy-related stuff, horse-related stuff, rather, I should say. But he says that he's the boogeyman and he's not going away. Nobody's getting off easy. I was not too pumped about this match because I just wasn't. You knew Kenta was going to win. Kojima does not work like he's 50, and I was just as excited to see what kind of match he pulled off on this stage at that point. And it was okay. It was fine, but Kojima did have a great performance. Kenta won this with a filthy GTS, just really, really good. This was better towards the end than I had expected, but I'm glad that Kenta is finally, presumably, getting his shot. Like, I guess they're going to have to make it work in the States, and I don't know why. I don't know why the big thing is, oh, well, Jon Moxley could go over to Japan and do this match, but he can't do it in the States. He can't just go to LA and do it. What's the difference, man? Move past the egos or whatever you got to do and just make this happen. And Kenta has been defending this damn top contender situation for forever. To the point to where this felt, I mean, he has as much claim to be the champion. Yeah, a fine match. Kenta and Moxley's got to happen now. I'll tell you what didn't need to happen. Great Okan against Tanahashi. Now, my line of thinking was, all right, Great Okan, he's under 30. He's getting pushed. Tanahashi getting a little older. Physically, Tanahashi looked as good as ever. Man, this guy is a star. Just screams out star and looks amazing. Looks great. And Great Okan is more like mid Okan. I mean, like, the fact that Tanahashi's hair and Taichi's hair shared the same pay-per-view platform is tragic. Khan's pants were tragic. Whatever he's doing is tragic. I'm sure New Japan fans think the same thing of Bray Wyatt, but man, this sucks. It ain't good. His work isn't good. The character isn't good. The get-up is... it's something. I mean, he's throwing Mongolian chops and an iron claw in 2021. Like, if you adjust the offense and make it less shitty, it's going to go a long way, but I don't know what else the guy can do. I don't need to see this right now. I don't need to see this, especially at this point in the card. I didn't need to see Hiroshi Tanahashi here, but you know what? He had been heavily pushed. So if you want to give Hiroshi Tanahashi the win here, I am completely fine with that. I found religion as a result of Tanahashi beating Great Okan. This convinced me that Jesus was real. He is not ready for this spot. He is not ready for a win over Hiroshi Tanahashi. Maybe he will be, but he is not right now. And I am so glad. I am so glad that Tanahashi won this. There was a nasty, like, inside-out suplex. They've been doing a lot of those in New Japan lately, which I love. I love them. They're really good. But this one almost killed Tanahashi, but it ended up working. But the rest of his offense looks really, really bad. Because it is bad. Iron claws, Mongolian chops. Come on, man. You want to talk about a tale of two matches. Oh, Kazuchika Okada against Will Ospreay. If this were like for the heavyweight title or something, I'd have probably given it a perfect 10 out of 10. I went 9.75 out of 10. And if I watch it again, there's a good chance I might have give it a 10. This match was so good. One of my issues were a lot of the ref fuckeries that were going on here. Just like a lot of weird shit. Like Red Shoes refused to count a pin at one point, and they're like, judgment call for Red Shoes. And I'm like, what? That's a shitty judgment call. That's terrible. But Okada busts out the heavy rain for the first time in a while. I'm not big on the stand around and wait to be punched in the face spot, because why wouldn't Okada just throw a dropkick? Eventually he did. But yeah, I don't like to sit around, wait to be hit type of thing. There is an Ospreay catching powerbomb spot that is off the charts. They have one of the best table spots in the last year with a suplex, an outside-in suplex over the guardrail through a table, through that little table. A lot of people have a lot of feelings about the money clip. I like the idea of using the Cobra Clutch, but the unfortunate thing is it doesn't look like a Ted DiBiase or Sergeant Slaughter Cobra Clutch where they're swinging somebody around. It doesn't look like an EC3 Cobra Clutch where he's sitting out with it like a crossface. It looks like a rest hold. It's not aggressive enough. That being said, even though there's a weird ref spot, even though I'm not big on the money clip, even though there was a sit around and wait to get hit spot, it was still almost a perfect match to me. It was as good as we all thought it would be. Seeing Okada take a Spanish fly, that's a sight to see. Okada switching it up, he did a discus rainmaker a week after Brody Lee passed away. Ospreay does a rainmaker too, but then Okada hits one to get the win. This felt like 15 minutes, and it was 35, and it flew by. It was unreal. Unbelievably fun. It's okay, well, you got Okada probably at the top of New Japan for the next decade still. Well, I think you're going to do all right with that. And if he can hold on to Will Ospreay, well, you got a pretty good guy there too. This match was my favorite of the two nights. It was almost perfect to me. Kota Ibushi, boy, did he have a couple of nights. Well, he defeated Tetsuya Naito to win both of the titles in the double gold. You know that an Ibushi match is getting good and going when he catches you with a Frankensteiner. This guy looks like a goddamn video game character, and neck drop city across two nights for Ibushi. Like, I see the Poison Rana, the Destino, the unreal Ibushi Frankensteiner off the apron to ringside. And it's all accentuated by New Japan's production. It's simple. It's effective. It doesn't get in its own way. It makes you... It adds to the action. It makes it to where... I shouldn't be blown away by basic camera work that tells a good story. That should be the standard. Sadly, I am. I mean, and I don't know if anybody captures facial expressions better than New Japan on this level. So, I mean, not AEW, not Ring of Honor, not anybody. And that's no shot at them. It's definitely a shot at WWE's camera work, though. So Ibushi almost didn't kick out, and they had a couple of really good near falls with the Destino in the last ride into the knee. But Ibushi got the job done with a couple of knees out of a V-trigger, and it was hard to follow the match before it, but they did it. And it was really, really good. Just an incredible amount of respect for these guys. And Kota Ibushi doing what he did. Holy crap, what a couple of nights he had. So let's go ahead and talk about night two. We already talked about Toriano. El Desperado and Kanemaru defeating Taguchi and Master Waito. These referee spots were too cute for their own good. Not a big Taguchi guy. I did not like them doing two comedy-heavy matches to kick off night two. Didn't need that at 3 a.m. Taguchi is just so much. Great suplex on Desperado, but there was this weird running crucifix spot where Desperado just sat up and waited for Taguchi. Desperado got the win with the Pinche Loco. This was all right at best. I really didn't like the first two matches of night two. Really, the first three out of four matches of night two were pretty bad. Because Sonata defeated Evil. And it is wild to see where these two are now. Because in 2015, I was covering Sonata in TNA. And I was covering Evil as Watanabe in Ring of Honor. Now, right out of the gate, I'm hating this. This is like a blood feud, former partners, storied history. And they do a fucking paradise lock, man. Come on. Wrapping somebody up and leaving them there for 30 seconds to kick them in the asshole? Jesus. Like, I don't need this. Come on. What are we doing here? Like, I know, oh, well, it's humiliating and it's embarrassing and all that stuff to the guy. But Jesus, dude. This spot sucked. Then they went to more ref spots. All night long they went to ref spots. Over and over. Now, they also went to a pretty hilarious series of situations where the ring announcer got knocked over. That was funny. I don't know if there's something more there or some more story to be told. But then we get another goddamn ref spot where Dick To Go helps Evil do a magic killer. Dick To Go, I wish he would go. A miserable table spot where he gets knocked off the apron and just launches himself. And then another ref spot. By the end of this, I was playing Tetris on the live stream. I did not want to watch this. It was so bad. It was so bad. Evil and Sonata still dressed like they're teaming, by the way. Switch it up a little bit, guys. Come on. This was real bad. Real bad. Everything else was amazing. Let's talk about Shingo Takagi and Jeff Cobb. Jeff Cobb is a certified sirloin beef sons of bitch, and he's looking great right now. Shingo Takagi is 220 pounds, but I am hereby certifying him a sirloin beef sons of bitch. He got the win via blood fall. This was an unreal ass-beating contest. If you told me this was the second best match of the whole event, two nights, I wouldn't argue with you. I think this could have been just as good, if not better, than either one of the main events that we saw Monday or Tuesday morning. That's how much I really love Shingo Takagi and Jeff Cobb. Jeff Cobb did the right thing making the decision to sign with New Japan. Now, it's funny. When I talked to him, the news wasn't necessarily out there that he's with New Japan. And he wanted to leave it up to whatever company that he signed with to announce that he had signed with him. They never announced it. So this year, he's worked AEW, Ring of Honor, and New Japan. He just hasn't been back to Ring of Honor. He's over in New Japan. So we know that he's with New Japan. And he told me he wasn't excited to go back to Florida. So he was pretty much done with AEW for the time being. So there are just some incredible spots. There was a horrifying setup. They sold me a ticket on it. Cobb is on the top rope looking like he's going to awesome bomb Takagi off the top rope to the floor. But instead he eats a dive. I thought for sure they were going to go all out with it. And I'm glad they didn't. Maybe one day they will, but that was such a masterful tease that by the time they do it, it'll be a spot that I'm like waiting for forever. I kind of hope that Cobb tries to set up this spot and do it in like several of his matches and he can't pull it off. Then when he does, it's like in a big time match. I mean, this is for the Never Open Weight Championship. It's a big time match, but maybe in a world title match, that would be kind of cool. Cobb is looking so motivated, so big time, such a star. Big slam after big slam. Cobb is like defying gravity with some of these suplexes when he's throwing Takagi. Takagi fell out of the ring after they were slapping meat. Fantastic sell. A couple of my favorite moves. The Last of the Dragon, one of the best moves in wrestling. That's the Pentagon Driver. But there was this just great pile driver that Cobb hit. I love it. I love this pile driver. It was like a jumping pile driver that was more like a power bomb. It was like a high angle seated power bomb, but it was meant to be a pile driver, but it looked even better the way that it ended up. These two guys threw down. They put on. They had a great match. Jeff Cobb looks like he has leaned out. He has gotten in great shape. He is 38 years old, so he's got plenty of gas left in the tank. I am loving it. If Empire could just get Great Okan to hit the fucking bricks, oh, I would be so, so happy. But, man, I got nothing but good things to say about these two guys. Unbelievable. This is how you book an upper mid-card situation. Well, Hiromu Takahashi defeated Taiji Ishimori to become IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. Ishimori would be the biggest thing in New Japan if he were just 5'10". Everything he does looks good and crisp. He looks like a million bucks. He does like a 450 onto Hiromu's arm, a running destroyer. Hiromu did a wheelbarrow flatliner that I loved, and then a modified Victory Royale that I thought was really good. It was a suplex into a flatliner. But these guys have amazing chemistry, timing, offense, counters, selling, execution, anything that you possibly could imagine. When you see somebody like Takahashi have high-level matches two nights in a row like this, on this stage especially, you got to take note, you got to give him respect. I give him respect. This was, I would say, probably fourth, fifth best match of the weekend. The two main events were better. Shingo and Cobb was better. And of course, Ospreay and Okada. So I'd give it number five if I were to rank it. If I'm ranking all these matches, I'm going Ospreay, Okada, Takagi, Cobb, night two main event, then night one main event, then probably this. Although the night one and two main event, you can kind of switch around. Speaking of, Kota Ibushi got it done. He got it done. This did not feel like 45 minutes, but it did feel like neck drop a mania. It's fucking night two. Why not, man? There's a close call on this hanging slingshot suplex, but anymore, whenever there's a neck drop with Ibushi, is it really a close call? I don't know, man. There was a tease on a top rope Tazplex that had me just fearing for lives. Ibushi called for the V-trigger and missed it. White pretending to scold Gato was very, very funny. I like that. There are some apron spots that are really nasty, just head drops all day long. One of the best near fall spots that I've ever seen, including in red shoes. I criticize that guy an awful lot, but he played it amazing. Switchblade Jay White played it amazing. He looked good, by the way. Looked like an athlete, top level athlete. He got his shoulder up and nothing else. He just lifted his shoulder barely up and red shoes paused. He froze. He didn't flip out. He didn't go crazy or anything like that. He just paused as he counted. And it added so much drama to the moment. Amazing. There were some spots where both red shoes and Ibushi got killed. Ibushi into the ring post. Red shoes when Gato pulled him out. Ibushi kicked out of a Blade Runner. Countered with another V-trigger and won after a few more knees. This was incredible. The post-match was incredible, too. Jay White can barely move, but he's still reaching for the hair of Ibushi. He's still trying to fight Ibushi. He can't throw a punch. He's too worn out. He's too dead. He can't do it. But he's still trying to do it. And Ibushi still wants to as well. He's just got a little bit more fight left in him because he won the match. Amazing. Amazing stuff. Incredible stuff. I love it. I did not love Sonata coming out to the ring to challenge Ibushi. This ain't it. Ain't it. I mean, I get it. Shingo's the never open weight champion. What are you going to do? I'd probably just rather it be Tanahashi or Okada. Really would. Wrestle Kingdom, night one and two. Just a really, really fun, amazing show. I liked it a lot. Excited to see what happens at New Year Dash. I will not be staying up to watch it. Got Quizzlemania on Wednesday. Listing your boy. AEW, NXT, MLW King of Coliseum and the post show. Thank you guys so much. This has been such a big week for Fightful. It's been such a big last year for Fightful. Thank you all. We're out.